We gotta get this hoe on the show. Hey everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, back again with another Drunk and Dangerous. I apologize for the lateness of this posting, if you are listening to this, other than the day it came out. Never mind, it was as early as usual. Don't pay attention to your lying eyes. Only what I tell you now, then skip to whatever the beginning of the story is. Anyway, I need some prep for these fantastic episodes, and I didn't have all the ingredients that I needed to make the drunk in the Drunk and Dangerous. So my apologies. Blame the Postal Service for the lateness in their delivery, my God. Send it completely out of state for like a week. Why? What is priority shipping even for? It's a joke, I tell you. All right. And completely unrelated to that, I still love the Postal Service. It's fantastic. This brought to you by USPS. Please release my family. Don't kill them. I love you, Mom and Dad. Today we are reading another bad creepypasta, and I've chosen this one. I mean, the title alone, positively writhing. What is it? Is it worms? Is it people? Is it sexy writhing? Writhing can be sexy. Is it some kind of worm monster girl? I don't want to think about that. Positively writhing. 5.19 out of 10. 15 minutes or 11 minutes long, depending on which one you choose to believe. For me, it's going to be longer than it should, because, you know, I have to rant. But maybe this time we'll be pleasantly surprised. I am always open-minded in that regard, you know, as long as it doesn't end like some of these do, where the last live I did was just very disturbing with the turn it took at the very end. They turned to sexual violence out of basically nowhere, in just this hideous manner that was so toxic and hateful that it was like it left a terrible taste in my mouth. So I'm hoping, fingers crossed, you know, the erotic stuff tends to definitely be on the more extreme end of, oh no, this took a bad turn, you know, like, rarely are you going to see something like a creepypasta go like fully racist or completely like, and then somebody was, you know, horribly violated out of nowhere in a way that's so aggressive that it is very telling of the author. Because, you know, I've read a lot of fiction where violent stuff will happen. But when it comes out of nowhere and ends in a way like, then that whore got what was coming to her, you're like, oh no, I know too much about you. Oh, it's horrible. Everything I know about you is horrible. And maybe you feel that way about me, in which case, bless you. You read me correctly. But how horrible is the story? Let's find out. Will we be positively writhing? Let's see. A gregarious cheer. Oh boy, this is a nice start. A gregarious cheer warmed the wide living room. How wide? It's a wide ride. As we all sat round the fireplace. Oh Lord. 15 minutes of this, you guys. The soothing flames suffusing throughout and thoroughly staving the winter chill frosted over the window panes. Winter being capitalized. The decrepit mansion we decided to bide our night in was weathered, the floorboards rotten and the walls home to fat mice, though upon what they fed in such an isolated place, I was not sure. They fed on your mama. Your mama so fat. Sorry, just... A small gathering we had decided upon. Oh my God, fuck off. Who would go to your gathering? for a night's stay at the local haunted house. Oh, perchance, where did you find a night's stay at the local haunted abode? Like, come on. I feel like this guy wears a top hat unironically, tips it, and perhaps says, "M'lady." I wonder if he goes out to, like, plays and brings a monocle. And I bet he also has a pocket watch. I bet he's that guy. And he's got, like, yeah, there's just, I feel like I know this person. let's see. Oh, yeah, the local haunted house. Of course it wasn't haunted. Why the fuck are you staying there? But then every structure that looked like the building we were in seemed haunted. So you just called it that? You pathetic loser. Could you imagine the disappointment? Your friend is like, "Hey, we're all going to rent a haunted house for the night." And you're like, "Shit, cool. We can do some, like, spooky ghost shit." Like, I'm not a believer in ghosts. I've never had a paranormal experience. But I think that'd be cool as fuck. I think that's fun. I like fantasy. Fucking obviously. Look what I do for a living. The disappointment I would feel if it was just some Airbnb that he thought looked haunted. You're not my friend anymore. I'm never coming to your lame fucking party ever again. Holy shit. Way to fucking sell it. You go pay for entrance in a haunted house. They're like, "Well, it's spooky looking, right? Look, Victorian architecture." Ooh. Oh, dear God. We brought the essentials. God damn it. Okay, if you have ever listened to any of Moon People, this David Braemar motherfucker, and yes, I'm referring back to the Moon People series I did on Drunk and Dangerous. If you don't understand this reference, this guy's just a fucking loser. David Braemar motherfucker, he brought the essentials. Bologna sandwiches. What in the childish fuck? Like, you're a group of adults and that's the essential? I mean, I get it if that's all you can afford and somehow it's very cheap and the only thing they stock in the store, or it's just even a nostalgic favorite, but not everybody. In fact, most people don't want a bologna sandwich. I assume maybe you all love it, and I apologize for the assumption, but I'd be really pissed if I was invited to a party at a haunted house, and instead of, like, drinks and good food, like pizza or whatever, it's bologna sandwiches in a Victorian Airbnb. Fucking kill me. It's going to be haunted because I'm going to murder myself before I fucking spend the whole goddamn night there eating sandwiches this motherfucker made with his dirty ass hands. You know he doesn't wipe properly or, like, wash. He's one of those people that goes in the bathroom, makes the worst fucking smell ever, doesn't fucking flush, and then just walks out. That's the guy who made your goddamn sandwiches, okay? Because he's like, "Well, I didn't get poop on my hands that I saw, so it's fine." No, it's not. It's not. It was in the vicinity of your hands regardless. Fucking wash them, you caveman. And he made your sandwiches. I'm just saying. Intoxicants. He calls them intoxicants. There is not enough airplane glue in the world to huff to get me through this. A portable speaker for music. What, pray tell, do you think he listens to? I mean, really. I can't decide if it's, like, incredibly cringy, very heavy metal music, or the kind of person that only listens to classical because they're above it all. I mean, he did call the alcohol intoxicants, which, oh, buddy, is this a speakeasy? Like, stop it. We're not back in the olden days. Pillows and the firewood. Why do you need firewood for your bologna sandwiches? I need so many intoxicants. That's all you brought? There's no even, like, chips. It's just fucking bologna sandwiches. Am I supposed to gnaw on the wood like a beaver? What do you want out of me? What are these intoxicants? Is this going to be like Molly or some shit? Because you got to bring something better than, like, light beer, which I assume is the only thing you're going to bring. Maybe cider. I don't know. Like, you need bologna sandwich party. Man, even my fucking best friends, I would dog you for that. I'm sorry. I'm giving you shit if I show up to your party in the non-haunted haunted house and you bring me a bologna sandwich. Can I at least, like, DoorDash something better? I'm sorry. Maybe suddenly his party will be great, but and I'm just being too presumptuous. But bologna sandwiches really puts it off on a bad start, you know? Could be on a date with, like, the most attractive person in the world. They pull out a Ziploc bologna sandwich. I'm like, is this a shit test? You don't really think this is a date, right? Because holy shit. It was a simple, a concise, basic form of relaxation, but it was sure to become one of those resplendent memories. Oh, God, we are full, m'lady. I can't. Resplendent memories of eating bologna sandwiches with my bros. Like a concise, basic form of relaxation. What, pillows, music, wood, intoxicants, and bologna? Man, you really lost me on the bologna, and that was your first fucking thing, so... well done. Resplendent memories. Also, what the shit is that? Like, if I was married to you for 50 years and you came out with that line, I'd divorce you straight fucking there. Resplendent memories, my ass. I'm dying alone with a smile on my face. You being crushed was my most resplendent memory. There was Matt asking me where I got the scabbed cut on my wrist after he took a huge hit of his e-cig, exhaling the thick plume upon our group. Oh my fuck. They're all douchebags, of course. They came to the baloney party. Then Jasmine mentioning again the gaudiness of my dyed blonde hair. Is it glitter dyed? How the fuck is your blonde hair gaudy? He just weaved gold into it. And he's like, I'm fucking broke now. I took out my whole 401k for this shit. Yeah, look at this shit. He doesn't want fucking caps for his teeth. Gold fucking teeth are over. I have gold hair, bitch. Madison was there as well, carelessly dropping breadcrumbs upon her gray shirt. She's just leading her out into the woods. Why does she have breadcrumbs? Is it the sandwich, or did she just bring a baggie herself from home? We had not taken to exploring the vast stretches of hallway and myriad labyrinthine winds that compose the innards of the once grand house, choosing instead to center our merrymaking. Oh my fucking God. Do you have a maypole in the living room? Our merrymaking in the decayed opulence of the living room. Where the fuck are you? The Titanic? The house? What the shit? Where are you? Where do you live? Where this is the average? You have a decayed Victorian mansion town? Where the fuck are you from? And you brought bologna sandwiches to that shit. You're a loser. Holy fuck. The opulence that place has lost on you. You have merrymaking and baloney. You lose any coolness that could possibly exist in this scenario. When you merrymake with baloney and you talk about resplendent memories, it's too much. You're just a person, dude. I mean, even in this story, you're just a person. Like, resplendent, really? I get it. You're verbose. We're all very impressed. Stop. I hate to harp on this, but I'm going to keep doing it. The whole resplendent thing, like, some memories undoubtedly can be, right? Like the birth of someone's first child or getting married to your soulmate or whatever, maybe the death of a hated loved one. Resplendent memories. Bologna sandwiches with your bros. If that's the most, that's resplendent to you, either I am very impressed by how easily you're made happy. I wish I could learn that. Maybe I have the wrong intoxicants in me. Or your life is just so sad that that's among your most resplendent memories. However, maybe at the end they'll just like find a giant pile of gold and then I'll feel like the fool. And now I'll have hair made of gold and I'll have hair made of nothing. Well, I mean, other than hair. That's stupid. Anyway. Oh my God. Any amount that my eye, like, I'll flit over this sentence and be like, Jesus, fuck, this is, all of it's terrible. Fucking merrymaking. The sentence wasn't over, shall I say. This sentence is like half a paragraph. So let me go back from the beginning. We had not taken to exploring the vast stretches of hallway and myriad labyrinthine winds that composed the innards of the once grand house, choosing instead to center our merrymaking in the decayed opulence of the living room with its wide arches and flaking paint chipped to reveal a red rusted hypodermis. Bro, it's a wall. Imagine you're getting your like wall painted and you have somebody over and you're like, you're getting an estimate. You're like, okay, but what are you going to do with the hypodermis? He's like, the what? You're like, the hypodermis of the wall. Don't worry. I know the surgical term. I'm a doctor. MD. That's major genius. Anyway. Many of the ancient stuffed couches and chairs were moth-eaten and now a far cry from the comfort they once beheld. Well, I fucking hope so. I bought them full of moth holes, but what a deal. But the wooden chairs provided well enough, and so we formed a circle around the fire out of them. Are you burning shit in the house, you dumb fucking bitch? You didn't even bring marshmallows. You bring anything. You're burning this house down potentially. Like a fucking idiot. Why you can't go outside, I don't know. You're just like, oh, look, a bunch of wood. That will be good to burn in this old, structurally unsound facility. What could go wrong? No, don't bring anything to eat. We're just here to watch ourselves die in our own stupidity, hopefully. Some hours must have passed after we arrived, for an ornate window revealed the sun sundered beneath the skyline. Why is he capitalizing sun and moon? And the moon, in midst of its ascent, casting a silver, phantasmagorical sea upon the desolate surroundings. Wow, those bologna sandwiches have him romantic. The edges of the dead trees caught it, casting long black shadows that appeared to have an impossible depth. Like an inky sea, like a flytrap waiting for a victim to swallow. Oh, we have a victim to swallow, not like they're waiting for you to swallow so they know to kill you. To never let return to the breathing world. Yeah, you've been banished to the shadow realm, motherfucker. The snow that sheeted the grounds reflected the silver, and though the countryside was dark, it glowed in faint moonlight. Silhouettes clung to the horizon, marking surreal corpses of forests and once green verdure. More time passed, and I broke abruptly from the darkness that had clouded over my mind. What happened to the fire? I'm really dying to know. You started it in the middle of the floor. I have so many questions. Only you can prevent it, motherfucker. I realized I had fallen asleep. And as I gazed around, I discovered that my friends were missing. I suspected they had taken to wandering the house without me. The bastards! You fell asleep like a little bitch. Look, you're just lucky they didn't put your hand in some warm water or draw a dick on your face. But they should have. You called them bastards because they're like, hey, he's asleep. Let's not bother him. Let's go check out the house. Because he seems comfortable and he wakes up and he's like, I hope you fucking die. Assholes. I got up and began my search, taking the hallway through which we had entered the living room. The carpet here was eclectic. Origin unknown. Well, no shit, it's not your fucking house. How often do you go to a place and you know the origin of the carpet? Though very intricate and beautiful, despite the stains of various substances, it's a cum carpet. Dried and crusted.
Ugh.
After the many years of neglect. Dust fell from the ceiling as the house creaked, moaned the way a living corpse might when realizing it should be dead and done away with, yet beholding itself still standing. Maybe you shouldn't have set it on fire, I don't know. Chips and pockmarks disfigured the bare wooden walls, and while a clean lacquer was present on parts of it, its absence on most conveyed it as in disrepair. Really, you don't say. Like that of a condemned building. Long past its use to human inhabitants. Fuck. Shit. I only now thought about it, that perhaps the Klonopin would be flushed out of my system. Oh, see, he's taking Klonopin. Well, Klonopin and bologna sandwiches, anyone? Any takers, Don't you fucking leave me when I'm asleep, you bastard. I'll fucking track you down in the house. Klonopin. And that I should have brought more. I feared that state when I grew anxious. Oh, you're pathetic. Some of us are anxious all the time. The distraught place when I began writhing inside. Oh, God, can you imagine spending a night with this fucker? I'd abandon him, too. Like an insect being slurped into a leech's maw? What? Huh? That is not what I would describe anxiety as at all. But with effort, I dismissed the thought, calming my heartbeat. This would surely be a stress-free night. Surely. Why would you think that? I mean, I have anxiety, and for me personally, any night in the company of, like, a bunch of people I'm not super well acquainted with, like, family-level acquainted, hell, even with family, it's not super stress-free. Maybe if I was dosed up on Klonopin, like this guy, maybe if he has more, you know. But then you should have led with the Klonopin, not the bologna. And don't call it an intoxicant. Like, Jesus, dude. And honestly, it's not worth, like, I don't care what drug you have, I'm not spending my time with you when I, especially if I was intoxicated. I feel like that would make it worse. It wouldn't make it better, it'd make it worse. I was in the opening atrium, flanked to the left by the doors we had kicked in, and a massive staircase to the right, a red carpet with dull gold trim resting upon the steps. I was preparing to proceed down the hallway across from me when I heard footsteps, faint, light, quick, there and then not, coming from upstairs. I looked towards the source, but could discern no presence. Must have been my friends. Wouldn't your friends be a presence? They exist, right? I began ascending the stairwell, my own footsteps loud in the deathly silence, causing me to stop for a moment, wincing at the sacrilege of such sound. After a moment, I continued on, reached the top floor, and peered around. This place was absent of life. The hallway stretched, branching off at periodic intervals like long, withered veins. There were a few closed doors, the wood tarnished and rotted in some spots, and a little ways down I could see a dark brownish-red splatter dried in a stream on the wall. Someone learned to aim their period blood. Very impressive. Windows provided enough light to traverse, the lunar silver shining strongly. It was a full moon tonight. A desk sat to the right of me, and a painting overhead. I approached, intrigued by the thick layer of dust obscuring the portrait. If you're intrigued by dust, you should see my place. More dust than you could shake a fist at. I wiped it off. A girl. Perhaps a woman. Yeah, age her. Age her now. Tell us. Tell us how old she is. See if she's a girl. Not yet a woman. You Britney Spears motherfucker. Sitting in front of a lake, as the sun shone overhead, long dark hair with a peculiar sheen wearing a white dress that clung close to her emaciated frame, her flesh ghostly pale. Hey, that's fine. That's normal. She's not dead. She's fine. Stop asking about it. A hemp-laced locket round her throat. How do you know? By the painting, really? You can tell it's hemp-laced by the painting? Really? You can tell it's hemp by how it's painted? No, you can't. No, you don't. You don't fucking know. Fuck off. Locket round her throat with an obscured portrait inside. Her face looking away. A pretty aquiline nose. Eyebrows contorted in rage. Her eyes gone. Flesh pulled over them. Flesh pulled over her mouth. I'm imagining like a wedgie of flesh. I know that's not what he means. Just all the way up and over. Ha ha, where's your face? I covered it in skin. Flesh pulled over her mouth, sound shut without a thread. Oh, so it's like magic. I stepped back. Creeped out. Accurate fear response. The girl was painted with stunning realism. More a photograph than a painting. Who would keep this kind of thing in their home? Okay, but I like know so many people that would. But I began to digress, instead contemplating its value. Really think it's that valuable? I decided I would take it when we left. A slight shudder groaned from within the walls. Are you beginning to regret lighting that fire? No, you're not. Continuing on without sight of a single soul, I wound my way through the entrails of the upper floor, choosing at random a branching path. How giant is this motherfucking house? I'm starting to think it's like, are you in a hospital? How big is this? The house seemed much bigger on the inside than the out, the layout monotonous and confusing, and though I knew I was lost, I did not heed my sense of foresight, deciding I would eventually find my way back. My footsteps echoed, the acoustics distorting the sound, and I realized the footsteps I heard earlier could have come from anywhere. After some searching, I thought I heard something, like something scraping, though it was nearly subliminal. I chose a door, determining it to be the most likely source of the noise, and entered. Have you never seen a fucking horror movie? Don't go in. That's where the source of the noise is coming from. The window here shed less light in than those of the hallway, but the hazy outlines distinguished a bedroom, furnished modestly and without creativity. Hey, what the fuck? Some of us are worried that if we decorate it creatively, it'll be ugly as shit, you know? Without creativity. Who are you to judge, asshole? And the darkness washed over what appeared to be a closed closet door. It was like a hotel room. You could feel that many people had lived in it. Yet it was clean, immaculate. Any evidence that might have once existed wiped away. Not the fucking hotel rooms I've been in, but good job on that maid service. It had an old-fashioned feel from the antiquated bed to the simple browned chair. I'm imagining them putting it in like a convection oven, like, oh, we just put it in the air fryer, browned it, it was really easy. And then the small oval mirror that sat on a dresser. The room conjured vague associations in my mind. I'm not sure from whence they came. Pretty sure it was your mind. Though they had a familiarity, a deja vu, a feeling as if I knew something but the neurons just couldn't transmit the information. Holding out on you, fucking cowards. But it also held a foreign connotation, almost xenophobic, as if encoded within the DNA of humans. Is that how you feel about xenophobia? That's concerning. Do you feel like you should fight against that built-in xenophobia people feel? The tribalism? Should you fight? Or should you be like, yeah, it's a good thing. It's in our DNA, so everything is excusable. If I can't help it. I was just bred this way, baby. An inherited memory from an ancestor, like fear of insects. My mind whispered dissimulation as I peered across the room, a diaphanous wariness clawing up my spine. I decided I was not particularly perturbed, however, and not sure if I was merely overthinking things inside a creepy ancient house, so I firmly dismissed the strange, spiraling thoughts. I walked towards the dresser, noting a drawer not fully closed, and found it empty save a silk-laced locket. Are you sure it wasn't hemp again? I lifted it up, opened it, to find a blurry portrait of a blonde-haired man. Wasn't this the locket the woman in the painting had been wearing? I thought you said it was hemp. Did you forget? Did you forget what you said? I think you were just wrong. I think you were wrong when you said it was hemp. I choose to think you didn't forget. I shuddered at the feeling of the old jewelry. Why? What's wrong with old jewelry? It feels just like jewelry. I shuddered at the feeling of the old jewelry, but its age might make it valuable, and I pocketed it. Are you just here to steal? You're just here to steal. Somebody probably still owns this house. You can't just take shit from it. That's still stealing. You're stealing from this house. Why is all you care about the value of the items you're about to pilfer? I feel like you don't... So it's not a party at all. This is just an opportunity to steal. I looked into the mirror, checking myself out, twiddling with my hair. He's like, would you fuck me? I'd fuck me. As my night vision became more accustomed to the room, I began to notice the darkness inside the closet behind me as it swirled, folding, floating, collapsing in on itself until the door shuddered, huh? It was like a bunch of fog or smoke. Or is he crazy? I turned around, senses heightened, Spider-Man motherfucker, watching, trying to perceive any difference. After some deliberation, I walked up to the closet and stared for a moment. I can do that. I can deliberate to that decision as well. The door was wide open, jittering ever so slightly. Why are you still even in this room? Fucking leave. Why wouldn't you want to leave? Is the Klonopin? Is that why? Let's see. We got the jittering door. The darkness was whole, complete, insurmountable to the straining light pouring through the window. It moved like static, and though it was utterly silent, I could still hear something in the silence akin to static, so it's not utterly silent. Stop saying it's empty except, it was silent except, then it's not that thing. Stop saying it. Yeah, it was totally silent except everybody was talking, and then the birds were singing, and then I was talking also. Akin to static as well. As I had no secondary light source and could not properly see, I decided to leave the room and the subtle teeming anxiety was inciting. Gee, I can't imagine why. It's like he's gonna see some zombie coming at him and he's like, I chose to ignore that strange man who made me slightly nervous. I grew slightly unnerved. See, he knows. I could not tell what it was, but the faint feeling of a tenebrific oppression pushed itself down upon me from every angle, constricting not my body, but the thing that I was, the very consciousness. Okay, Mr. Drama. I was squirming inside like an etherized patient still awake on the operating table. Uneasiness crept in tremors up my neck, discomforting me in a primal, survivalistic sense. The sense of a sheep before slaughter, before the sheep could even see the murderer's face. As my pulse trembled erratically, I remembered I was in an old, creepy house. I was okay, free from harm, my friends, a shout away. But as for right now, alone. Completely alone. Absolutely alone. This was the thought I clung to, and it calmed me down. I closed the door behind me, shaking myself internally to try and loosen up, and continued my journey. A few deep breaths and a promise to stay out of the rooms now, to go back downstairs, brought me back down to a comfortable state. I should head downstairs anyways, as there was no sign of my friends. Perhaps they were back in the living room by now. I walked through the dusky corridors, my breath and footsteps my only companion. What about your hands and your feet? And your face? 5 minutes passed, 10, 15. Isolation. Okay, either this is just ghostly gigantic inside, but how have you not mentioned that it is ghostly gigantic inside at this point, if externally it doesn't look that big? Because I'm telling you, I have never been in a house where you can walk 15 minutes straight and not reach the other end of the house. I mean, not even close to approaching. That is massive. Like, I'm pretty sure you could walk like the full length of an entire mall in 15 minutes if you were hustling. I'm kind of alarmed he hasn't said anything, that like, wow, this is way bigger than it should be. Or did he just enter? Like, what? Where is he? Is it an abandoned mall? My heart hit harder. My sense of direction was absent. Each hallway was identical to the last. How many fucking hallways are in this house? Each door the same tarnished color. The moon beaming the same sullen silver. What color do you want the moon to be? My lungs constricted. The wooden panels on the walls of the floor composing the ceiling, all marked and chipped and stained and weathered, they all whispered in solidarity the same word, alone. That's what you get for bringing baloney. I was completely and absolutely alone, dreadfully and disdainfully alone, my hands palsying. Bro. Ah, oh, you palsied yourself, bruh. Lost, wandering in an amaranthine maze. He loves his thine mazes. I grew nervous, sick, vision swing, arms heavy, palm sweaty. Is there a vomit on his sweater already? What if I were lost forever? Nonsense, it's a finite house. Not some haunted mansion and a horror movie. Besides, your friends will come find you when... What if it's not what it appears? What if this is the horror movie? What if they get lost? What if they're dead? What if... Horror movies aren't real. The supernatural isn't real. The house is limited in physical space, as all things are, no matter how vast or intricate. Well, what about the universe? You don't really know. Anyway, there's no one here to kill them or you, so get a fucking grip, you crazy... It's been hours since I've seen them. I've been gone forever. What if they've left? How do I get out of here? It's the door or a window, I suggest. All I want to do is get out. I can't breathe. Let me out. Let me out. Take a breath. What direction was the moon when you were downstairs and looked out the window? I feel like you're having a bad trip. To the east? Where is it right now? I looked out the window of my immediate left, and then the one behind me where the hallway cornered off. A murder of crows flew by. No moon over here or back there. So go away from the direction it's not in. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense. The stairwell is on the east side. I'll find the general way back down. My breath slowed back down. I felt okay. I swerved slightly to the right in the last bout of nausea, abrading my arm against the coarse, gelid wood. Please stop. Nobody uses gelid as an adjective. Stop. How is, like, the last creepypasta I read also, like, granted the last one was even more obfuscated with very strange choices of wording, but still... Gelid, like, it's unnecessary. It detracts from the story. The story's not even good. Faint footsteps. It's cold. A small, soft, feminine voice, almost below the threshold of hearing. Footsteps for a moment, ceasing suddenly. I listened. Hey! I asked, vocal cords wavering, suddenly constricted as the trepidation materialized again. Silence. Teeming. Ululating. Your silence was ululating how? Fucking describe to me how. How was the silence ululating? You lying son. Do you even know what that word means? Clearly not. The silence was? All right, what the fuck ever. Sorry, that's just, He was ululating in silence. I would leave him too. I like to think all his friends just abandon him and he's just really high wandering around because they're like, God, this guy's such a loser. Do you guys want to go out and get something to eat that's not bologna sandwiches? Cacophonous, abysmal silence. It beckoned for me. Okay. Yo, is that one of you guys? I'm a bit lost. Was that breathing I could hear, or just a draft of the winter gale moving through the house? Did the floorboards creak under the weight of feet, or was the wizened mansion just settling? Wizened? Are those shadows draped over an observer? Was someone hiding beside the corner behind me, watching? Was I the only one listening to the thundering of my heart? I indulged my paranoia, turning around. Nothing. After a breath, I crept slowly towards what I believed to be the source of the footsteps of that disembodied, ethereal voice, noticing crumbs on the floor and then forgetting, the air growing frigid, trying to listen acutely to every variance and nuance. I peeked around a corner, willing myself to investigate. A hallway stretched distantly, seemingly longer than the house itself. A door cracked at the end, and it slammed shut in an instant, a glimpse of gray fabric and pale arms flashing for just a moment. I stood in the middle of the hall, shivering as a cold air blew hard against my back. I turned around to find the window open, unsure as to why, and just stood there. The moonlight appeared to have changed color. Oh, he got what he wanted, casting a dark, depressing gray across everything. I looked down, feeling a sensation upon my arm. Ooh. A deep red was blotted across my wrist, the wound dripping. Where had this mark come from? I hadn't even felt it. Who had done this to me? When? I was fearful now. I felt like prey. I felt the eyes burning upon me, though their location was obscured. I was not alone on this floor. I knew that now. Knew some presence had been here the whole time, ever since I came up the stairs, ever since we broke open the doors, waiting, watching, feasting its eyes upon us in the rooms adjacent to us, looking under the cracks of doors and false eyes of paintings, studying our faces, deciding how exactly its hand should bring about our deaths, the order in which we would die, whether to use its teeth or silverware, where to bury our bodies, how much could be spared to the rats. What, still the same sentence, I'm sorry. What kind of cooking method for each of the limbs, the fantasy of tasting our flesh, my skull, discarded amongst the hundreds of others. Bro fully gave in to his paranoia. He went from 0 to 100 in like 0.5 seconds. Calm down. The panic shot through me. The neurotransmitter incendiary. Stop talking about yourself that way. Molten, my veins cauterized with it. Anxiety built in my lungs until I was suffocating, drowning in imaginary inundation. The tendrils snaking through the bronchi. All I could do was stand still as every single synapse fired the same message as my nervous system. Is it alone? Is the message alone? As my nervous system flushed adrenals through my system. As my heart increased with painful celerity into an arrhythmic dirge. Your word choices are just cromulent. Then I ran, sprinted, screamed. The murderer was here. Something spectral, unnatural, unsatisfied with death, yet malcontent to bask in it alone. I convulsed inside. An eerie sensation, my consciousness seizuring, unconsciously struggling to get out as if manacled to my body. I was positively writhing. The name. Matt, Jasmine, Madison! We need to leave now, I yelled, hoping it was not in vain. I ran, twisting through the turns of hallways that seemed to bleed into each other, and then voices sounded, a low collective murmur that seemed to rise up from the house itself, non-corporeal and echoing. The walls congealed, Dark patterns formed eyeless faces, jaws dropped in agony, outlines shuddering into one another, melding, cleaving, edges in the walls vibrating. Ooh, ride that wall. Ceiling bellowing and bending. Darkness stretching its fingertips across the walls and floors, ever consuming. Consuming me. You guys, can you hear me? We gotta go, I shouted, unsure as to where my friends could be, whether they were even still alive. After I took a corner, I became elated when I saw the stairway at the end of the hall. The hallucinatory anomalies ceased. Well, you saw the exit, now they have to stop trying. Finally, I could get out of here. I could find my friends and get somewhere safe. I became wary, however, when I noticed a bright crimson streak on the wall, like an artery had gushed down on it, splatters dripping along the floor. I became distracted, afraid my friends were already dead, and then it felt as if I had been tripped, and I was rolling down the stairs, because you weren't paying attention. A rib cracked, my temple began to gush, and various other injuries were sustained. The pain was fresh, vivid, causing me to forget all about the thing stalking me. I cussed out loud, laying at the foot of the steps, breathing stertorously. The fuck? Trying to ignore the pain. I was disorientated, immersed in my pain receptors. Immersed in my pain receptors. Could you imagine, hey, are you feeling okay? No, I'm immersed in my pain receptors. Okay, fucking die then. I'm sorry I asked. I'm sorry. Can't you answer something normally? Jesus fucking Christ. My friends must have heard me and came to my aid, rushing down the stairs. I was surprised and ecstatic to see their faces. What the hell? Are you okay, man? Matt asked. Yeah, I said, succinct. I faded in and out of consciousness, clutching my temple and his purse. They all ran to my side. Listen, guys, we gotta roll. We gotta head out. There's something in here. The window was open. Someone slammed the door. Voices, feet steps. My wrist is red. Someone up there. He said feet steps. I said,
that was us. We were up there. I opened the window because it was real warm, but I guess no one else felt that way.
Matt said, yeah, because it's in the middle of fucking December. Madison said,
whatever. But yeah, man, we were the only ones up there. We called out for you when we heard you yell, but you didn't reply, and your voice was all echoey, so it was difficult to find you. Until you made that loud-ass racket when you fell down the stairs,
Matt continued. You look tripped out. You didn't take your meds, did you? Jesus. You know how fucked up you get when you don't take it. Remember that time at the lake? Are you sure? I like to think you, like, killed a bunch of animals or something. Like, what the fuck? Is that where all those pets went?
But I began to ignore her. The relief I felt upon realizing there was nothing in the house, nothing but my friends and my own illusioned mind, lulled me into the dark. Suddenly I was clear, lucid, immediately present. The darkness dispersed. Hello? I called. Yeah? Hey, man, you cool?
Matt asked from up the stairs. Yeah, man. What are you doing? Where'd everyone go?
Come up here. They went to try and get some cell reception, see about getting you a doctor.
I staggered up the staircase. What an asshole! Making me walk up the steps. I just fell down. Such a whiner. He should piggyback you up, right?
This is a spooky house, I said as the stairwell shuddered.
Yeah, did you forget the fucking part where, like, the walls turn into screaming faces and you're not trying to immediately leave anymore? I feel like you should have probably just left after that, but, you know, go deeper into the house. Why not? I said as the stairwell shuddered.
Tell me about it. Do you want these rooms? And check this painting out.
Rooms? What are you talking about?
And yeah, I've already seen it. It's weird. Dude, these teeth are crazy.
Teeth? I asked as I reached the top of the stairwell. Every single door in the hallway was wide open. I murmured as I stared at the portrait, my face and blonde hair now painted in her locket, as the thousands of bloody spiny needles piercing haphazardly through the woman's lipless mouth. It's not really teeth, then. It's just face needles, because you can't really eat. There's no hole. Just saying. The necklace in my pocket began to burn. And that's the end. He burned himself on a hemp-slash-silk necklace in the haunted house. Why? Who knows? It's not necessary for you to know. Just know that the lady is a demon now, and she's a-coming for you. And thank you once again for joining me for another absolutely brilliant, I'm sure, Drunk and Dangerous, and hopefully you'll forgive me for this and join me once again next time. And until then, I will see you guys later. Mwah. Bye.